Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Part 3. I think we're moving into the climax of this story, of putting it all together, of the people that have jumped in to really make this happen. Annie and Connie Minden, part 3, and then we're going to close it out with Jeans, who is part 2 of the trailhead of this whole story of kicking this whole thing off. So as we're going to do all these parts of this story, Matt, I'm going to let you take this one beginning to end, speed round and all.
Sweet. So this is my good friends, Andy and Connie Minden, and we'll get into who they are here in a second. But first Andy, then Connie, what is your favorite beverage?
How about a nice, crisp, hazy IPA?
Oh, God bless you. That's beautiful.
It sounded so good.
I know. I was like, man, right made me thirsty.
Do I need to go?
Connie, what's your favorite beverage?
Right now, it is mango juice with sparkling water.
That's good. I like it. That's a good NA beverage. We're going to switch it up. We're going to stay with you. What is the favorite place you have traveled to? Can you either be with or without Andy?
Oh, well, we are nature lovers, so I would say that probably my most favorite was going to Kenya.
Oh, yeah. I remember that safari when I told you guys not to get eaten. Yeah.
And we came back and we were not eaten.
Yeah, it was really good. Of all the people who I didn't want to get eaten, you were right up there. So, Andy, same Kenya or different?
No, actually, I guess I would say a few years prior to that, we went to the Galapagos Islands, which was amazing. We didn't get eaten there, but I think one of the highlights there was dancing in the, you know, if you call it dancing in the snorkeling with baby sea lions.
Oh, wow. No, a video? Any video or social media?
No social video then.
I'm going to stay with you, Andy. What is your favorite hobby of or interest outside? We usually say the construction arena, but for you being retired, what is your favorite hobby or interest when you're not involved in all the volunteering activities that you do?
I guess, you know, I thought you were going to talk about my nickname of Handy Andy, but I will move on.
That will be its own separate podcast.
Skiing. In the wintertime, I'm actually a volunteer ski instructor with the Ignite Adaptive Ski Program, so I get to teach skiing to the same population.
Yeah, which is, for not many people who know, Eldora Mountain Resort is literally 30 to 35 minutes, depending on road conditions, straight up from Boulder. Reason a lot of kids come to go here is you can go to class in the morning and ski in the afternoon, but a great program that Eldora has up there. Connie.
I would say outside of the volunteer things, is probably birding. We've gotten really into birding. And the other day we were having dinner on our deck and we turned on the audio, and we had 9 different birds just right there around us.
That's cool. That is very cool. I thought of something, but I'm not going to say it. So I know you guys really well, I think. And you guys are two of the most generous, loving, caring people, I can say this safely, that I've met in my entire life. And if you guys can talk about what led you to deciding that you wanted to create a community in Boulder and really being the driving force and visionaries behind this upcoming neuroinclusive community in Boulder?
Well, our daughter is now 34.
Kendra.
Sorry. Our daughter Kendra is now 34, and she's lived out of our home for 13 years now. But it's been very challenging for her to initiate social engagement and to sustain some support in that situation. We know lots of other families that are struggling with that, and we just decided that it was something that we could do something about. So here we are.
Andy?
Yeah, I guess, you know, one of the things with, you know, so many, you know, as we all get younger, or maybe most of us get, no, we, I guess we don't get younger, we get older. We start to think about things like what, you know, people refer to the empty nest. But for families that have children, adult children with developmental disabilities, IDD, you know, the empty nest never really gets empty. There's always that connection. And so it's trying to, and then the other part is that at some point, we hope not to outlive our own children, but they will outlive us. And then what happens in terms of support for them? And so that's an important part. And, you know, we went down trying to figure out, could we do this on our own? We actually, about 12 or 14 years ago, started a nonprofit that led to trying to help this same population find meaningful employment in the community. You know, those are, you know, when you think about what happens after school age with our kids, you know, forming a community connection, getting a job and a place to live. And those are all challenges that are even that much more difficult for this population. And that's where we felt we needed to try and help along those that need it more.
When they call people who have been in your position, they say folks with lived experience, you know, and so it's the parents, but it's also the adult children. I'm wondering if you could share a little bit for our listeners just about, you know, kind of what happens at that 21, you know, age where the transition program happens and there's a lot of support through high school and other programs, and then all of a sudden it just disappears and goes away.
Yeah, that's what we found. When Kendra finished the transitions program, there was really so little for her. Fortunately, we do have the EXPAND program, so there is a recreational activities, but she had a job in which she was part of a group, and they would go into, for instance, a restaurant before it opened, because, you know, we, heaven forbid, we should have this population seen by customers, and she had a couple other jobs that they would go around and do as a group, and her paycheck was about $18 every 2 weeks. So we just really felt that this population deserves the dignity of employment. And when we did have our program, we did have apprentices, but we paid them full minimum wage from day one, A, because we felt they deserved that, and also because we wanted to be able to say to them, no, you can't be late, and you can't dress in that way. And we wanted them to be truly ready when they were ready to go out and find their forever position.
Yeah, no, that's well said, because one of the things we've talked about is we've talked about Trailhead that exists, Trailhead Community in Littleton, but also Victory Village, is just how do you create a social environment and a support system that people can live in this community, can live their best lives. The same way that, you know, Devin, you know, you, Connie, me, Andy, we all want to live our best possible lives. And so with that, I ask about, like, your vision for Victory Village. When you guys look into, and we get to the crystal ball early, but when you look into that crystal ball, what do you see when we have got it entitled, got it funded, have it built, and folks have moved in, and now they've stabilized and been in there for about a year? What does Victory Village look like for you?
A lot of happy faces. And, you know, it's one of the things that is prevalent in this demographic is individuals that tend to spend a lot of time, you know, in their rooms, maybe looking at a screen, doing things that aren't really connecting with others. And so, you know, the idea of a community house where when you come home from, let's say, you know, wherever you may have a job or some other activity in the community, you know, maybe some of the rec programs, you come home, you enter into that space and you're seeing, hey, there's my buddy so-and-so. And, oh, they're working on a jigsaw puzzle. I kind of like jigsaw puzzles. I'd like to do that. And so that natural flow of things that allows, you know, because I think as Connie was saying, one of the challenges for our daughter is it's difficult for her to initiate things. And so being in a situation where she can, see something happening, she can connect to it.
And one of the things that I remember at the Trailhead Gala is that many of the residents there talked about freedom. We heard freedom, freedom, freedom. And the idea of our daughter getting to live in her own one-bedroom apartment, and so she would have that independence, and yet know that she has friends down the hall, she can go to the community space. We want that for her and her friends. We want them to be able to live in community and feel like a part.
Yeah, well, yeah, and have the choice, do I want a roommate, do I not want a roommate, right? Because we all get that choice. I shared, bedroom with my sisters and then finally had my own bedroom, then went back to sharing a bedroom with Cowboy Brad, freshman and sophomore year at CU. And that was great because he would play the guitar and play John Prine songs and Gordon Lightfoot songs and John Denver songs. So I had my own built-in entertainment, but it was a choice.
Yeah, you could just chill out before you knew what chilling was.
So that turns the attention then to Trailhead community and Trailhead development. So you guys mentioned you had previous experience helping put together a neuro-inclusive community. It had some positive attributes and some negative attributes, and we won't go into that. But just what was it attracted you to Trailhead Community Littleton and Trailhead development?
Oh my gosh. I mean, we didn't know that much about it, but we said, let's go down there and check out the grand opening. And we were just blown away. There were so many things there that we were seeking for Kendra, and so many things that we never would have thought of, the way it is structured and designed. And we started thinking about, well, maybe we can do this in Boulder. And we got like four families together and said, okay, let's do this. But the idea of taking it on was just overwhelming. Not that we were going to give up necessarily, but Matt and I sit on a neuro-inclusive committee together, and we were having a meeting, and he was talking about, yeah, at Trailhead, we're feeling like we really have things together now, and we're considering opening a second community somewhere in the, what did you call it, the greater Denver area. And I was like,
Yeah, and then eventually Boulder County. Yeah.
That's going to be like, I didn't hear the Boulder County. Yeah. All I heard was, oh, I'm thinking Aurora, yeah. Arvada.
Yeah.
And then we found out through our daughter's manager, she met you at a some kind of conference, and she said, well, would you ever consider doing that in Boulder? And Matt said yes, so she immediately texted me and saying, you're not going to believe this. So it's kind of, that was the beginning.
Yeah, and it's, yeah, I mean.
I think another aspect is that we'd been through the process of starting a nonprofit from scratch and ran it for about 10, not quite 10 years. And, now that we're not as young as we used to be, the idea of doing this all again on our own was felt a little overwhelming. And so the capacity and expertise and knowledge gained from what was done in Littleton, and to bring that, I mean, one of the things, there's so often we think, well, no one's ever done this before. We should figure out how to do it on our own. But learning and taking advantage of what other people's learning experiences is so important. And that's who was it that said, let's see, Hillary Clinton takes a village?
Yeah.
So, kind of building on that of bringing the skill set that others bring to the table was very relieving.
Yeah, well, and the difference between Hillary Clinton, she said it takes a village of people versus the village people. the community. But yeah, it's and it's interesting, with Trailhead Community, we have at least 1 to 2 calls a week of people saying, hey, we have this vision, and you guys have actually done it. And then some of them will even bring their own, like they'll fly all their board members out here. We had board members coming in from North Carolina. And yet they go away and they still think they're going to do it on their own. And to me, it's kind of crazy. It's like having somebody show you how to ski, right? And taking the time with you. And then you're like, hey, thanks. And then you go off and you shoot down an expert run thinking you're going to learn it on your own. And it just doesn't make sense to me. And that's why, Devin, I wanted to thank you of putting this podcast together, because I think we can point people to this podcast and say, you may think you could do it on your own. You probably can do it on your own, but we have learned through the School of Hard Knocks and the School of Opportunities what we would do and next time differently, and to be able to learn from that.
And so, we're going to get to benefit from that knowledge. So
yeah,
that's amazing.
So I want to pivot to, you know, and I don't want to put too much pressure on you guys. You're going to speak a little bit later here before the concert, but you have this incredible opportunity where we have folks coming, some you know, some you don't know, who are bringing their adult children with them tonight to meet people and to hear about the community and to hear Cowboy Brad. And we even have someone who is bringing their young child who's six. So on the other end, if you remember back to when Kendra was six, also to learn about it, because they thought they had to do it themselves. And I'm like, no, there's this whole community out there of people that you can learn from their wisdom. So having said that, can you talk a little bit about what Pine Street and Cowboy Brad and AOC coming together for the common good, what that means to you guys tonight for Victory Village?
Well, I think, you know, one of the aspects is that the IDD population is kind of it's an invisible population, and being able to bring awareness through, you know, I mean, Cowboy Brad's got a name. I don't have a name.
Well, if you were Andy.com, like CowboyBrad.com.
Well, there you go. I hadn't thought of that. You know, bringing in people that have, you know, a connection there to be able to share the story is so powerful. Because it is an invisible community. And, you know, as Connie was saying earlier, in one of Kendra's first jobs, you know, she was, you know, kind of hidden away. And, you know, that was a big part of what we tried to do with our nonprofit Ramble, is to get individuals in. We operated a retail clothing boutique on Pearl Street, you know, downtown Boulder, where we had people coming in from all over the world.
Yeah.
And getting exposure to this population working effectively and providing value. So that's an important part.
Yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. You know, I'm a big Dr. Seuss guy, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the Horton Hears a Who thing here at the beginning of the concert. So, yeah, I agree with you. You guys brought me to Pine Street Church. And understanding, really, I mean, we heard Andrew earlier and David earlier, and you get the power of the folksy, quiet wisdom of Andrew. But can you talk a little bit about your feeling about the common good and Victory Village and how it supports that?
Well, first of all, I had no idea that the church was going to adopt our mission, which is so beautiful, and at a service, Andrew just got up and said, yeah, we're going to be a part of this. So that was a really beautiful surprise. And we were all sitting together on Sunday when he started talking about John from the Bible and Jesus not leaving anybody behind. And then he started talking about our project, and I knew not to look at you because I was already, like, weeping. So it was just, I don't know, just such an incredible thing to know that our church that we came to for other reasons was choosing to join us in this mission.
Yeah, it is. It's the power. And Devin and I'll wrap this back around to the original Nuts and Bolts conference. And my wife Kelly was down there with me too, and she's been to lots of conferences, mainly medical conferences. And we both said the same thing to each other the first night we were there. We're like, we had never been to a conference that was more loving, with people who are all caring about each other and all rowing in the same direction. And that's when I had my aha moment down there, was this is the work that, like, we got to be doing, is this kind of work. And that same spirit of community lives here in Pine Street Church and in Art of Construction.
Well, since you brought that up, I would like to say that knowing you and really experiencing all that you bring to this population, just because you were moved by that experience, is such a blessing, and you're just an amazing individual.
Well, hopefully we'll edit that out. No, thanks, well, Connie. I appreciate you saying
and
that.
I think one of the things, the I don't know sure what the right phrase is, but one of the sayings we have here at Pine Street is acceptance with no exceptions. And I'm probably repeating something that Andrew may have said earlier, that community involves people from, you know, all of the, you know, that bad word we have right now in the world of politics, diversity. Yeah. So many, you know, we live in so many, each one of us is different. And, you know, how can we accept each other as our neighbor?
Separation versus inclusion. And inclusion is what all of us at this table and everybody who's been on the table before you here tonight is all about.
Yeah, and as we transition to Gene's part two to close this out of like the ribbon cutting to talking about the next journey, I really do think that's the art of construction, because you think about the nuts and bolts of the part I learned is you've done a nonprofit before. I commend you for stepping up and doing this again. And that's kind of how construction is. You're like, Matt, Trailhead, you built it. It's not easy. We had a lot of conversations in and out of the podcast of the real life of the art of construction. Mm-hmm. And somehow we're going to go do it again. But at the end of the day, if you learn by doing and you keep surrounding yourself around people that are going to say, you know what, we're going to get through this thing. And you have to have a passion project to do that. And I think at this one, it's like, it's your daughter. That's why I was joking it. The new AI world, and I'm launching, I think tomorrow we're going to do it, and I'm sitting here looking at Crystal, that my amazing assistant, and they said, we're launching two AI assistants, and they said, the hardest part people usually have is naming their AI assistants. I said, that's Eva. That's easy. My assistant is Eva, my daughter, just like you guys are going to do there. And I said, Mountain View's assistant is Luna, which was my first dog that was my first dog. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta figure out how to make it humanized in this new world of diversity. Mm-hmm. And that's what you guys are doing here. And we're all proud to be part of this story. So any last words you want to say or call to actions of people that have said, it's not easy, we're going to figure this thing out.
Yeah, I guess, you know, that's with... as this, I don't know whether it was speaking about the art gallery around us in this location where we're at, is the story of a woman who deals with a son who's nonverbal and requires 24/7 care. Life as a parent of someone in this population can be very difficult. And the thing is that instead of pulling back and isolating yourself, you need to go out there and connect with others and form a community that can support each other, not only for the caregivers, but also for those that are receiving that care, and create those communities.
And, oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, and to be the second Trailhead community is so phenomenal. And we want other people to know that they can do this too. And wow, it's incredible.
That's super cool as we transition into Gene's, because when I started the podcast, I started this in 2014. We're close. This will be right around our 400th episode. And at the time, it was like, you're going to do what? Like, what's a podcast, right? And it's just a name of a podcast, because like Apple and I, like how things, it's just, I'm going to learn how to share stories to help move construction forward. And I think this is really one of those of the connections coming from the Nuts and Bolts Conference of it takes somebody to step up, like I started the podcast, or in this conversation, more importantly, Barb to step up and say, I'm doing this for my daughter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To then we're going to close this thing out with Jean's to say, she's still operating that thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, she's going to be involved in, like, the Trailhead is going to help. It's not just one, but once somebody steps up and says a pigs can't fly to Barb, and she made that happen.
And Jean's.
Then you can create a movement that Jean's is carried on, and then more people are going to follow.
And Jean's
maybe
is
won't be invisible anymore.
Yeah, and Jean's is Barb's granddaughter. So there's that connection, which is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I always think back when it seems so challenging to when Matt used to say to us, we'd say, if this, if that, and he would always stop us and say, nope, it's not if, it is when. And he just believes that, and he convinces us and brings us to believe that as well.
Yeah, languaging is important. Language and intention. Yeah.
Well, thanks for stepping up and sharing your story.
Thank you
so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.